Hello and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free podcast about the TV show Killing Eve, made by some queers.
Hi, I'm Nina, and I'm the one who was told that I have to go to a plastic surgeon for my burn, and I was like, no, I have to give a lecture on that day, it is my first lecture ever, and then I went the next day.
Whoa, you did it! Yeah. You did it both!
Yes, I did. Women can do both.
Hi, I'm Naya, and I'm the one who has been late to the past few recordings now because I was eating toast with peanut butter.
It's a worthy cause. Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who played a new game on my sister's PlayStation, and this game made me so sick I had to lie down for 20 minutes.
What?
Sick in what way?
Car sick.
Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah. It sucked.
So, we are talking about season 4, episode 4 of Killing Eve, called It's Agony and I'm Ravenous. This episode was written and directed by the same two people as the last one. Okay, so let's start with general impressions.
This episode, even though I liked it less than the previous one, but it made me more excited. So it was good.
Yeah, same, I think. I don't know, I feel like there were less parts that I really enjoyed compared to the last one, but there were more really exciting and unexpected things that I really enjoyed. So yeah, I had fun.
Well, I loved it. Yes, finally. It was definitely my favorite of the season so far, obviously, and I was so happy to watch it. Of course, I didn't compare it to the best episodes of the previous seasons. I don't know how it would compare to those. And honestly, who cares? I enjoyed it, it was great, I loved it. So we start with a scene that is basically about Eve, but we get some little parts about Villanelle. Villanelle is in prison, and she is just sitting down, and then she decides to approach the little window in the door and say that she wants her phone call.
I just want to say that I really like how blue these scenes are. Mm-hmm. I guess this scene, but it feels like multiple scenes because it's cut with Eve's parts. I think it's very pretty, and I enjoy the music.
The music is so good. Meanwhile, Eve is walking to a place.
Yeah, and at this point, I already feel betrayed. I felt very betrayed in a lot of ways by Eve in this episode. I guess because at the same time, we're seeing Villanelle in the prison. So it's like, oh yeah, sure, go on and hang out with Hélène while Villanelle has to be in prison.
Nina, I don't think you understand power play.
It's true, I don't. I'll admit it.
So as I said, Eve is walking to a place, and then she walks into the place, and she goes up some stairs, and she is in the backstage of a theater, and I love it. Have you ever been in the backstage of a theater?
Yes, multiple times. I'm trying to think if it was just when I performed or if I ever visited anyone in the backstage of a theater. Yeah, I did. So, both cases.
I guess I have, but it feels like I haven't. Like, I did ballet when I was 5, so that.
I have been what feels like many times. I love a good backstage of a theater. My favorite times were, of course, when I was performing with my choir. And it's always so exciting to be backstage. I only have good memories. But I did also work in a cultural center, so there were times when I had to go backstage, and those were, again, the most exciting parts of that job, I think. Okay, let's continue and go to the stage of this theater. We get the title card that says The West End. Eve and Hélène are sitting on the stage of this theater and they are eating desserts from small glasses. And I love that this is how they ended up eating dessert. And I love sitting on the stage of an empty theater. Like, at this point, this is my ideal date. And then Hélène ruins it by telling Eve that she owns this place. Like, how unsexy is that?
Yeah. Not just owns, that her father bought it for her because she liked shows there, which is way worse than just owning.
True.
Yeah, it's amazing how it really sucks, just like the owning part, and then that makes it so much worse.
Yes, and Eve agrees with us because the contempt that she looks at Hélène with is truly masterful.
Here I had the thought, again, like I've had this thought before, but it surprises me every time how comfortable Eve looks, like how comfortable she is with herself. And I just love that for her so much.
Yeah, me too. It's incredible to see her in this season. You know how people say that they're attracted to confidence? I always thought that was so stupid and made no sense, but I feel
judged. Oh. I mean, I never said it out loud, but it's true.
I felt it here. I feel like Eve is even hotter in this season with, like, her being so, comfortable in her skin.
Yeah, she seems like she is in control of every situation. Not necessarily the only one in control. It can be, like, a mutual thing, like in this scene. But she's never just being pushed around by someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
I love the "when does the show start" part. It made me think how proud the editor of the trailer must be for putting that in. And I am proud of them. Good job.
I wonder if they put that line in the episode specifically so it could be in the trailer.
I had that thought, but I can't imagine that being the case.
So let's see what actually happens in this scene. Eve came there to mention Lars Meyer to Hélène and see her reaction. She doesn't exactly see it because they are both turned with their backs towards one another so they can display their emotions on their face without the other one seeing it. It's so good. I love Eve's face. She's so proud of herself. Yeah, I didn't think this would happen, but Hélène actually is surprised by Eve saying that.
Yeah, I imagine she would be like, so...
Yeah, kinda. But we find out the reason Hélène is, like, kinda shocked by this is because she doesn't know much about Lars Meyer, like, she doesn't know what he looks like. So they decide to race to see which one finds him first.
When Eve tells her about Lars, she brags about how he was really hard to find. It must be a big deal, which is hilarious given that she only found him by coincidence, by hearing that fight that just happened to be happening there in that garage.
But as we know, Eve is always right and has great intuition. So Eve also mentions Fernanda. And it sucks.
Yeah, Hélène calls Fernanda an idiot, and this makes me hate Hélène even more.
Yes. And it also confirms that, as always, Eve was right when she said that Fernanda is not Hélène's type. Because Hélène's type are very intelligent women who are broody and edgy and just so smart.
I hate this even more in connection with what she says later in the episode of, like, not liking weak women.
So then we get to the most exciting part of this not very exciting scene, which is Hélène saying, on the subject of exes, I hear you've had a busy night. So I love every time someone confirms that Eve and Villanelle are exes and Eve doesn't deny it. So beautiful. I think Villanelle would kiss Fernanda because Villanelle doesn't suck in this way.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Villanelle would be so into Fernanda.
Exactly. Then Eve gets very close to Hélène and says, stop. And then it really looks like they're gonna kiss.
Yes, yes, it does. I don't know how, but in this scene, while I was watching it, I had a thought they are 100% gonna kiss this episode. And I was right.
Yeah, it just seemed like inevitable.
Yeah.
So this scene ends with Hélène saying that they should race for who will find Lars first. And then we immediately cut to a scene where we see Constantine, which just confirms my theory that Lars is Constantine. It is so obvious here. Come on.
I will move on without commenting.
You'll see when I am proven to be right.
But yeah, let's go back to Constantine.
It's so fun how many scenes with him start with this fun music. Ugh,
and him
it.
Walking.
Yes, yes. I want more of that.
I hope every episode has this.
Mm. Yeah, he's doing a power walk.
He is! And Pam is like barely keeping up with him. It's so cute.
She is so cute.
And then we get a title card that says Margate, which means nothing to me.
Yep.
Yep.
It just, apparently it is like a British seaside town. I like how it looks. It's a fun setting.
Oh yeah, I would go there.
So I guess with this we have confirmed none of us have been to Margate, so no comment on that. Then Constantine puts Pam in an ugly hotel room.
But it has nice walls.
Yeah? What are they like? I don't remember.
It's like a purplish, reddish kind of thing. Mm. The thing that I wanted for my room, kind of.
And he says some, like, intimidating things to her and she absolutely does not care.
He tells her that they are not friends because I guess he is hurt by his past with Villanelle.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And doesn't want to repeat it.
He's asserting his boundaries.
Yes.
I thought that this was just a sign that they are for sure gonna be friends. I thought that, like, for sure he also said that to Villanelle at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the beginning, in the first season, they still had some boundaries. Mm-hmm. And, like, Villanelle slowly started to break them with, like, finding out that he has a daughter and so on.
And just by being a friend to him.
Constantine wants to know what Pam is good at because no one told him anything, I guess, except that he has to train her. Mm-hmm. And he learns that the thing that Pam is good at is embalming, and he thinks that is fucking hilarious.
I love his laugh. I know I've said this before, but his laugh is also like one of the high points for me in this show.
Yes, I agree.
And Constantine tells Pam that they are gonna meet somewhere in an hour and then leaves.
Then we move on to a less exciting scene again. I mean, unless you care about plot. Which, still, in this episode, it's so nice and clear.
I understood what was happening.
Yeah, so I didn't even hate the scenes with the plot. Just still less exciting than the rest. So the plot is that, oh yeah, by the way, we are with Eve and Yusuf. And Yusuf is drunk. And Yusuf has found Lars on Fernanda's social media because Hélène, I guess, put zero effort into trying to find Lars and didn't go through Fernanda's social media.
I bet it feels below her to look at social media.
Mm. Plausible.
And Yusuf found his face on a print on Fernanda's shirt, and he was able, again, to enlarge this image so much that he can do facial recognition thingy to it.
Oh, it was a print on a shirt. I kept, like, trying to figure out what is going on there.
Yeah, this is a photo from her, like, bachelorette.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I never said that the plot in this season is amazing.
Yeah, no,
sometimes, sometimes it makes really stupid leaps to make things work, but... You know, they're not afraid to do that. Previous yeah. seasons, when they ran into a problem, they didn't try to solve it. They just pretend that it's not there. Here, they at least solve it, even though it's like the dumbest way possible.
Yeah, it's perfect for this show, honestly. Let's continue with Hélène coming to prison.
This is a scene of someone's ex and their current girlfriend interacting.
Yeah, that is fun.
So what happens in this scene is that Hélène comes to get Villanelle, but before they leave, they have a little conversation in which Hélène ponders on how to get Villanelle to do as Hélène wants and is saying, torturing won't work, money won't work, but Villanelle is, nope, money will work. So Hélène brings Villanelle out of the prison and gives her a new murder to do.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I love that she spent like all of 5 minutes in prison. I love how it seemed like a big deal in the previous episode, like a yeah. really big deal. And now it's just like, well, she's out. Love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great because when we're in prison in the first season, it sucks. So I'm glad we don't have to do that again.
Yeah, so Villanelle accepts this murder and they go to Heathrow.
And she looks defeated.
Yeah, she's not super happy about this murder that she got.
But also she didn't really want to go back to working for the 12.
Yeah. Then colors.
Yes!
I don't know any Spanish, but the song that plays sounded to me like it said, "Quel color?" Like, I understood it as being like, what a color! And then all the colors. Surely that's not it, but...
Yeah, we see some shots of Havana that were very obviously not shot for this scene, but instead taken from some BBC archive. I also don't know how vintage Havana looks now, but that just seemed like a 20-year-old shot, but I don't know.
So you're saying you've never been?
No, I have never been to Havana. I have never been outside of Europe.
Same.
Oh. I've been outside of Europe, but I have not been to Cuba. Would be into it, though.
If it's this colorful there.
I mean, yes, only in that case.
So, we get the title card saying Havana, and then we get another title card saying Safe House. And I love how much nicer this Safe House is than every other safe house we've seen. And I love the blue walls in this house. They look like the blue walls in our living room.
Yeah. Carolyn finds the man that is not Lars. And
what's his name again?
No. First, she comes in the safe house and first she meets Benita, who is the, I guess, house manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they go over and look at Rustam.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the guy from the 12 that survived the torture.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little chat about him. I named him the Toes Nose guy.
That's perfect. That is his name now. Good.
And so far, we find out only that he has not said anything about who tried to murder him, except that she was a puta.
Back on a colder shore.
Good one.
Pam comes to Constantine as they agreed, and what Constantine wants Pam to do is to push this random lady into the sea.
And I love that she's like, no, why would I do that?
Yeah, he's trying to see if she's willing to follow every order, no matter what it is, and she is not, and I love her!
Yeah,
I love how she communicates so much with saying so little.
Yeah, but it sucks when she's, like, quiet and then Constantine is being so awful to her. He's, like, asking her if she wants to be a nobody and if she's stupid. And this was hard for me to watch.
I kind of hated this. Not that I necessarily don't think that Constantine would say that, but because I know they wrote it to mirror her brother specifically, and it just kind of annoyed me.
I get that. Yeah, because it's like he is insulting her, and not only that she doesn't say anything, she doesn't even show any emotion, she doesn't look angry, she doesn't look anything. It seems on one side like she is so in control of her emotions, it just seems like it's not worth it to react. But I know it was meant to be like, she has been a victim of abuse for so long that this is just the way she reacts to this kind of situation.
Yeah, I saw it as a coping mechanism. And it seemed effective, because it made Constantine leave.
Yeah, he tries to just give up on her. Then back to more plot with Eve and Yusuf.
I just imagined a talk TV show called Plot with Eve and Yusuf.
That would be their podcast about the show. And it would be the opposite of our podcast.
And it would be so boring.
Yeah.
I think they would be awful at podcasting.
Yeah.
Which is interesting considering that in the first season we thought that Eve should pursue a career in podcasting. I don't think we were right about that.
But also, I just don't think that they should be making a podcast together. I think they should fuck and not make a podcast. Well, for us, it's the other way around.
Yeah. So Eve and Yusuf are in the van again, like doing their job in quotes. Yusuf is asleep. And the facial recognition thingy is done and came up with a match. And it's a photo of this young dude. And they're very excited, which I guess I don't really get why it would be so helpful for them to have young photos of this dude. I get it, like, it's a lead or whatever, but still. So this photo that they found is on sale on eBay, and Yusuf will, of course, get Eve the phone number of the person selling it. So Eve makes this phone call, and Yusuf makes fun of her accent.
But it's great.
Yeah. I love the way she pronounces the name of the photo with like this fake terrible German. It's so fun.
Yeah.
See, she is good at acting.
And also she pretends she can't speak French at all, which I think was also fun.
A fun part of the character. And this lady on the phone refuses to put any time into working with this customer and just tells her to come to her store. Back to a more colorful place. Toznos has woken up and is a misogynist.
Yes. He wants a cigar because he's in Cuba.
And Carolyn goes along with his whole thing. And she like has some patience for his misogyny because she really wants to get this thing out of him. But not that much. Not enough patience.
Yeah. Yeah, I admire her patience. I don't think I would have lasted that long, but I also love it when she loses the patience.
I also enjoyed her quote, "Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar," because for some reason it made me think of Sissy Nepaun Peep. The way Carolyn loses her patience is her saying, "Well, that was silly."
Yes. Very good.
Carolyn. The straw that broke the camel's back is this guy breathing smoke into her face. And wow. Wow, do I get it.
I mean, he also says, "I'll die before I grovel to a woman," which seems like a bag of bricks that broke the camel's back. To calm down, Carolyn goes outside. And did you both also immediately know that this is the scene where she gets kidnapped because she was smelling a cigar?
Nope.
Nope.
I remember from the trailer that she was smelling a cigar when she got kidnapped.
I totally forgot.
And then at the other seaside place, Konstantin is calling Hélène, trying to get out of training Pam.
Yeah, it turns out that he actually enjoyed his stunt as a mayor, and it wasn't necessarily a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But we also learned stuff that we said in episode one that we might never learn. So, yay!
You mean how he got the job?
Yeah, yeah.
We find out that Andreas got him this job, which I believe is a name we've never heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So we just know now that Andreas is an important person in the 12, or at least importanter than him and Hélène.
A thing that we learned that's more important than who got Konstantin the job is that apparently the 12 doesn't in fact know that he was the one who stole the money that Konstantin successfully framed Paul for this.
Mm-hmm.
However, Hélène knows that Konstantin did this.
I have nothing to say about this, but only about the Hélène scene, which is that she is painting that crown, but also in front of her, we can kind of see a pink tulle dress.
Oh my god!
What? I didn't see that.
We hardly see it, but it's puffy and pink.
Also in front of her, we see another crown or tiara. So I wonder if she's gonna dress up together with her kid. I don't know. Either way, her preparing her kid's costume was my favorite thing about her so far, for sure.
Yeah, best thing she's done ever.
Mm-hmm. Some other thoughts I have on this scene on the Konstantin's part. Apparently, this is how you end up never being able to go back to Russia, like Dasha did, because Hélène will not send Konstantin back to Russia. And yeah, what happens is that he tries to blackmail her, and then she's like, no, no, I will blackmail you. Also, just a question. Did we ever find out what Konstantin did with the money? I guess he wanted to use it to move to Cuba.
And he did, and he lived there with Fernanda for 5 years.
Oh, okay, I guess that explains it.
Yeah, I don't think we ever find out. I think it's actually possible. I don't know if it's true, but it's possible that he like was forced to give it back, put it on Paul's account somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And then we switch coast sides again. We get Villanelle driving the blue car to the beach, and Carolyn is in her trunk. And Villanelle is finally wearing fun clothes again, like colorful, yes. Bright.
Yes, it made me feel alive.
Also, I so deeply don't care about cars, but this car is nice.
Yes!
100% same, yes. Oh my god.
Yeah, so we come to this sandy beach with palm trees and also a bunch of graffiti, which I love as a setting. And here I also have the note, which is true for the whole episode, that the music that plays like at the end of one scene and then into the next cuts out in very fun ways a lot of the time. Like here it's like in the moment where Villanelle takes the bag of Carolyn's head, and there were other instances of this.
Back to what you said with the beach and the graffiti, that reminded me of, once again, of the Romeo and Juliet movie.
Yes!
Wow, yeah.
Except it was Carolyn and Villanelle.
I mean, there are scenes with Romeo and his cousins.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Princess, if I remember correctly.
And they do have, like, a cousin relationship. Like, this kind of... Yeah,
exactly. This, like, the only thing is that this implies that Villanelle is the Romeo, which is not the same as the aquarium scene, but still, it's just so good. Yes, it's Romeo and his cousins on the beach. So before Carolyn and Villanelle can become best friends, we have to have some scenes of them being like adversaries. So Carolyn, of course, immediately understands that Villanelle was sent to murder her. And she actually seems scared that this will happen, because Villanelle is good at murder.
Yep.
But they have a conversation instead. Well, first.
Well.
Yeah, not quite yet. First, Carolyn is trying a few different ways of getting Villanelle to not murder her, and these are saying that she's more inventive than using a wrench. This one doesn't work. Saying, can I still offer you that job? Also doesn't work. And then the third one is saying that she met Villanelle when she was a child and that she liked her instantly. And this also kind of doesn't work, except Villanelle decides not to actually kill Carolyn, but just like do a little bit of like an effort in that direction. And she just hits Carolyn with a wrench. We switch coasts again. And we are in Dreamland, and we don't have to get a title card that says Dreamland, because we just get this sign, and oh boy, do I love this setting, the amusement park that's like kind of not fancy, and just so good. And of course, there's Pam, who came to have fun.
I love cotton candy, and I love the trope of women doing that thing in an amusement park of hitting the hammer and men being like, what, when they do it to a fool.
Yes. And I also love that this man instantly falls in love with her for doing that.
She rocked Darren's world.
And she does all this without saying a word. Also, the third way she has fun is she goes in that little spinny cup, and this is the best scene I've ever watched in my life, like the best face acting I've seen since that scene in A Portrait of a Lady on Fire where they play cards.
That is strong.
I just adore this scene. It made me so happy. She is confused about what's happening, and then she has the time of her life.
So the card scene is your favorite portrait scene?
No, I just thought it had like such amazing face acting.
Ah, okay.
My favorite portrait scene is when she literally catches on fire.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like that whole thing with people singing at the fire. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yours?
My favorite is the one where they are, unfortunately, even though this is my favorite movie, I forgot everyone's name, where the three of them are cooking lunch and the young girl embroiders, and they're just like in harmony. And I think that that's, for me, that is the essence of this movie.
Yeah, I think I feel that way also about the card playing scene.
I think it might just be like the end of, you know, not the faces, but the part where she sees the painting and the book number.
Yeah.
But there are so many good scenes. Like,
there are so many.
Both of the scenes that you mentioned, I was like, yes, that is the best.
Cool. That was an important part of this podcast. So, any more thoughts on Pam?
I didn't think of this while I was watching it, but now that we're talking about it, I really connect with her need to, like, process what happened. She needs a few hours to properly react to what Constantine did.
I love that. And she does, like, this processing through doing something completely different.
Yes.
Let's continue on our path towards
best friendship.
Yes. So Carolyn has woken up from her unconsciousness, and she will tell Villanelle the story of meeting her as a child, but first she needs to stuff a bunch of painkillers in her mouth, which, understandable. Carolyn is also commenting on what Villanelle is doing, and she asks her, what happened to you? I thought you enjoyed this, at least. And then she tells the story. It's a story about Villanelle hurting another girl.
But Villanelle doesn't actually remember this story, so do you think that this actually happens, or is Carolyn bullshitting?
I think it can go both ways. Like, on one hand, I like the idea of Carolyn just buying time with this. But on the other hand, a lot of the time on this show, when people say things, we have to believe them.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so Carolyn describes this as Villanelle being gifted from birth. And Villanelle is like, I was evil from birth? Because she's been struggling with this for a season and a half now. Like, am I evil? Am I bad?
And Carolyn says, no, people contain multitudes.
Yes. Yeah, all this time, everything that Villanelle needed was just a conversation with Carolyn. So Carolyn tells her that every human contains a little bit of everything.
Because they are miserable. And a little bit of this is also, like, wanting to murder people.
And she calls this Villanelle's flair for murder. And she says that killing is not good or bad, it's just primal.
It's what nature intended, and why should we go against nature?
And I, like, absolutely disagree with all of this, but I thought it made sense in the context of the show.
And I love that this is how this whole storyline of Villanelle trying to be good is resolved. I'm so happy this happened and it's over now.
Do you think Villanelle is the daughter Carolyn would have wanted to have instead of Geraldine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Last season would have been so much better if they just had this talk in the beginning and we just would not have Geraldine.
Actually, what should have happened, we should have gotten the reveal that Carolyn is Villanelle's mother.
Yes!
Because it makes sense. Yes! She was in Russia. She got pregnant, had this baby, didn't want to take care of it, put it in an orphanage. It makes total sense.
Yes! That's...
Yes, and then Villanelle would be like, am I like this from birth? And Carolyn would just be like, yes, you inherited this from me. I also am into murder. I love you just as you are, my beautiful daughter.
Is the dad Constantine or Vlad?
Constantine.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I also think that makes more sense.
He actually has a father figure role in Villanelle's life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This is canon now. I'm just gonna imagine that this is what we found out in the previous season. This is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, so Carolyn's thesis statement is, why waste your time being good when you could just be good at what you're good at? And this resonates with Villanelle. Carolyn and Villanelle get back to the safe house and they sit down to eat because Benita cooked. And Carolyn bites into a mango.
Then we get to Paris, which we know because there is French music. I'm making fun, but I really do like that when we are in different places, we get the music in the language of that place.
Yeah. Yeah, we get another fun pair of title cards. This one is Paris, and then Pas Vraiment Ordinaire, which is the name of this cluttercore shop.
Eve came into the shop of this woman that was selling the photos on eBay, and she is again doing her stint of the fancy English lady, I guess.
Yes.
And she comes in asking about any other photos of this guide. So then Eve goes to browsing this big box of photos. Back with our new favorite friendship couple.
Yes, we're finally at the point where they become best friends.
It's so fun.
Carolyn and Villanelle are eating a meal. Naya, do you have anything to say on this meal?
No, I didn't really see exactly what it is. It was some kind of stew or soup. It looked like it had tomatoes. It seemed great. I would love to try it.
But let's talk about the shot, though. Like, first we see them and it looks like they're in separate rooms. Because basically we see Carolyn and then we see Villanelle in a mirror. And we don't actually see her next to Carolyn because there's a wall and it's a cool, cool shot, and then the next shot is them sitting at the same table. Ah,
They're sitting in silence, and then my favorite thing of this episode. Carolyn says, because eating in silence is so great that Carolyn has to start talking about it. Because most things that people say are pointless, and she wishes that they would just shut up.
But I also just love how they bond over this. It makes so much sense for Carolyn's character that she just hates most people. And mm-hmm. she just says how it's bad when people talk. And Villanelle has this beautiful moment mm-hmm. of just like agreeing and saying, just farting from their mouths. And it's like this beautiful moment of really understanding yeah. each other. It's a different way than Villanelle and Eve understanding each other. I think this friendship that is born here is the reason that I loved this episode so much.
I guess that.
Please don't hate me for this, but I think at least this season I've been less into or less excited about Villeneuve. I mean, I'm still excited, but I just want them to fucking die. And before that, I want these yeah. fun moments.
I also remembered in the second season when Villanelle is hired to help interrogate the ghost. And she meets up with Carolyn for the first time. And Carolyn is like really in control. And Villanelle is so in awe of her. And she tells Eve to be quiet when Carolyn is talking. And I love that this fascination slash, I don't know.
Admiration?
Adoration, yeah. Turned into this beautiful friendship.
I agree that in this season, even though previous season also had a lot of really good side characters, but in this season, because they're not taking so much time to convince us that they came up with a really fascinating plot, they mm-hmm. have more space to explore those other relationships. And
yeah, true. Like, they write the side characters and side plots for the fun of them, instead of, like, serving the plot, which is bad. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Also, an important thing that happens is that Villanelle checks out Benita.
I love it. I also just love that Villanelle compliments her food.
In this kind of way, she, like, leans in and whispers it, like,
it's really good.
Yeah.
It's like her way of saying something honestly. It's just so fun.
Then we have the little thing that advances the plot, which is
Carolyn asking Villanelle who sent her. And I love how Villanelle is like, Helene. And Carolyn's like, Helene!
Yes! Yes!
Like,
I think Villanelle pronounces it incorrectly on purpose. Mm. Like, I'm sure of it.
Mm. I love that.
So basically, Villanelle tells her that it's Helene, and Carolyn then uses this information to figure out that Helene is the one who is killing the members of the 12. Mm-hmm. And also, she is so pleased. She's like, Helene.
How fascinating. Yeah. Like, she loves to learn fascinating things.
She loves to learn.
And Carolyn explains with a few words to Villanelle that someone has been murdering the 12 and all that, because Villanelle hasn't really heard much about it, I guess. And she says that they all been murdered in, like, a torturous way, and Villanelle, like, perks up at the word torturous.
She's back, baby!
Then Carolyn tells Villanelle to go have a look at Toad's Nose, aka Hideous Toad, who is next door and might inspire Villanelle.
I love that. He is so horrible that, yes, of course he would make someone who doesn't want to kill anymore be into killing again.
Then they go and actually have a look at Toad's Nose. And Villanelle is really impressed with the torture that has been done to him.
I love that this guy, he's like really misogynist, but within this show, he is just a prop.
Mm.
They made this really fun because there are so many scenes where people are like standing in his room and just talking about him.
Good, yeah, you're right. At some point, this guy says like a few words about the person that tortured him and says that she was a beast, and then compares her to Villanelle and says, not like you, you're a thoroughbred.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, I just googled thoroughbred, and it is like being of pure breed. So, I guess this means that the person who tortured him was like either mixed race or like an immigrant in the UK or something like that. Maybe that could be a hint towards who this was. Let's say basically the hint that we get from this towards like who or like what kind of person this torturer was is that she would be someone that a really terrible misogynist would hate. And I love that Villanelle just hates this whole idea and just punches him.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Caroline tells Villanelle that she wants any info at all. And Villanelle's like, okay, cool, you can go. Mm-hmm. And Caroline is so happy.
And so is Villanelle. She's like, I have this mission. I'm excited about it. I am now really focused on this. It's good.
I know that this is like my purpose in life. Yeah. I know that it doesn't mean I'm evil. And I can finally do the thing I enjoy again without feeling guilty. And mm-hmm. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
Back in Paris, Eve is browsing through the photos and she finds a photo of Lars with some other guy. And apparently, she is so satisfied with this photo of some random person that she stops her search, does not look through the entire box, and just buys those two and leaves.
Yep. When she finds this one other photo, she turns it around and it again says, as this character of Eve would say, they're revolutionaire. I guess this is just the guy's nickname. I thought that was like the name of the photo, but no, it's just his nickname.
And it also says Berlin 1979.
Yeah, the reason that Eve then stops browsing is because Ellen texts her.
She texted, come over, I have big news, you're in Paris, and Chloe at grandma's smiley face.
Yeah. perfect.
I love this look into Ellen. I love it when we have characters that are supposed to be like so unapproachable and mysterious and and then we see them as human beings. We get that a lot in this episode, which I mm-hmm. really enjoy. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to Villanelle and the misogynist.
Yes, so Villanelle is lying down on Toe's nose and she's looking at his nose, wondering how many toes the person got in there. So the rest of the scene is Villanelle torturing Toe's nose to get any information from him, and she does get, like, a little bit. I love when she's, like, telling him what she's gonna do to him, and she's like, cheese wire, and makes, like, a face, like, mm-hmm. who would have thought, right?
mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna describe the torture and all, but what we find out from the guy is that the person torturing him was tall, huge, and evil, and that he doesn't have a 12 contact, he just has a place. And then Villanelle surmises that this is all the info she's gonna get from him, so she murders him, and we get another one of those fun scenes we used to get a lot, mm-hmm. where she's like looking him into the eyes and looking the life leave his body, and she's so fascinated and enjoys it. And yeah, I think it's bad to say that, like, the fact that Villanelle is enjoying murder again is also one of the reasons I loved this episode so much, but it is.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's not it. Take murder seriously yeah. again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the difference for me between how previous seasons treated villanelle's need to be good and how this season treats it, because mm-hmm. previous seasons they had her change and then question it. So she stopped wanting to murder and then it went from there on. But in this season, she is still the same person. She just started questioning it. And it sounds like such a small change, but to me, it really makes a difference.
No, it really matters, like, what you base your character development on.
Yeah. The place she gets is El Hombre de Dos Caras, which I never learned any Spanish, but it means a man of two something. I don't know what cara cool. is.
I am right there with you.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I really want to
try. Yeah, yeah.
I want to know.
Please. Yeah, that is the one thing that I want Googled as well.
The man with two faces.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's not go there yet.
Well, let's go to a different restaurant.
We get to see Constantine eating, and I don't know what's wrong with me, but again, I didn't really pay attention to the food.
Nah, are you okay?
I think so. I think I just enjoyed the episode too much.
Yikes.
Yeah, Pam calls him and tells him she's been mugged and she might need a doctor.
He goes to where they were supposed to meet, and he waits by the edge, because he is very smart, and Pam comes behind him and pushes him into the water, which is great.
I was already thinking in their last scene there, that when he tells her to push the lady in, I was like, you should push Constantine in. But he was sitting down for most of that. I think she might just do that if he was actually standing by the edge. But yeah, this was perfect. And Constantine agrees.
Yeah, it was perfect on its own. But then he comes out of the water and is doing his laugh, his great laugh. And it's
And he says, yes, that's more like it. And laughs some more. And this is something I really love about Constantine as a character and as a handler, because most of other handlers that we've seen would get extremely angry if this happened to them. And he was like, that's the shit!
Yeah.
He's so good at his job.
And then she says, don't underestimate me. Yeah.
And he will not, I think.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the man with two faces,
where Villanelle and Caroline are also lunching.
This is my favorite scene of the episode. I love that they're just like waiting for something to happen. I love that Villanelle suggests playing truth or dare, and I love everything about their truth or dare. I find it very interesting that they both choose truths in the beginning, because as a person who would always choose truth, I don't feel like they are that person.
I think maybe it's a little bit out of convenience for the show, of course, but also for them, because they do want to keep like sitting there and watching out for something to happen.
Also, I think they are both curious about the other.
Yeah.
So what do we learn about them?
Carolyn first asks Villanelle, are you a born-again Christian? And Villanelle says, how do you know everything in such a wow kind of way?
Yeah.
You're so cool, you know everything. And she answers by saying, God is good.
It's so good the way she says it.
Then Villanelle asks, was it true your dad was a sexy gay spy? And Carolyn confirms by saying, daddy did have a penchant for the penis. And Villanelle is so happy about the word penchant. She's
penchant. Is this sexy gay spy who Carolyn inherited her very large wealth from?
But also in season two, Carolyn implied that he was a pedophile. So
yeah, I was gonna say.
We had learned that.
Yes,
I completely forgot.
Then Carolyn asks, what intrigues you about Eve? And again,
Everyone ships them! Everyone ships them!
Oh, I was gonna say yes, of course, but I was gonna say that I love Villanelle's answer once again, which is, I just met a therapist.
Yes, you just met a therapist.
So, I just met a therapist and he said, I just like the control I have over her.
Like, did he say that really? He also ships them.
Yeah.
And when Carolyn asks if that's true, Villanelle says, it's not true, which is the perfect answer to that because that's true. And then they bond over not liking therapy.
Yeah, that was also good.
Yeah.
Again, I completely disagree, and I love that they think that, and they bond over it.
Mm-hmm. Then Carolyn chooses a dare, which is important for later.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, a dude looks over. He's in a nice pink suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lars!
Maybe.
Oh my god, is it?
Yes, Naya! Apparently he knows Carolyn.
Yeah, he comes over, which is funny, because he has to run away in the other direction later. But Carolyn said that she thought he had died, and obviously he had not died. And then he runs away, and Villanelle says, while already getting up, shall I chase him?
Yep.
And he escapes somehow. I did not understand how, but he escapes.
Then we go to some gay shit.
Some cringe gay shit.
Yes.
Yes.
Eve gets to Ellen's.
Ellen says she was about to have a bath.
Yeah, even though she told Eve to, like, come here immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power play that they both enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually goes to have a bath and Eve follows her and starts shaving her legs. So we get to the whole thing about the weak women and Fernanda that we already covered, and we don't have to get it into again.
We don't have to get into that, but Eve says Ellen is making an army of fembots, and Ellen does not get it.
And then Eve explains by saying, pew, 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 pew.
And I thought that was perfect. And also I think Ellen should watch Austin Powers. They should have watched Austin Powers instead of the cooking show.
Oh my god, yeah. That would be more fun.
Yes.
They continue this discussion. Ellen is like, I am helping these women, I am giving them power. And Eve is like, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, like, okay, since when is this the main topic?
Because they're on a date and they're getting to know each other. Yeah.
That was just what I just thought of and was gonna say.
Sorry.
It's what you talk about before you get naked with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what Eve then does. And I did enjoy this moment of power play of Eve just starting to take off her clothes. And then it gets real awkward. It's kind of fun because they don't look like people who would get awkward, especially not Ellen.
Especially not the image that they were trying to present to the other. I found this so hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah, which is what a date should be like.
Another thing that is great is that this uncomfortable situation is saved by Ellen saying that she made soup.
Let's move on to Carolyn and Villanelle again.
They are back at the safe house and they are discussing the guy that they met.
He was an old flame of Carolyn's because of course he was.
Yes.
Of course, this is a guy that Carolyn had a fling with in Berlin.
In this scene we get a lot of these British expressions that I had to Google, just like I had to Google thoroughbred. I just want to comment one thing before that. Carolyn is smoking the cigar now. She finally, after like having that bad experience with the toes nose with the cigar and then being kidnapped while smelling the cigar, now she gets to smoke her cigar and I'm happy for her. So now the British phrases. Villanelle asks if this guy is 12. Just like, is he 12 years old? And I don't think Carolyn answers. Like, I did not decipher an answer to that from what she said, but I mean, we know he is. She says, problem is, I've now given him a chance to go to ground. I think I'd better make tracks. And what this means is, I've given him a chance to hide, escape, whatever. And I think I'd better leave this place and go somewhere else.
Thank you, Naya, for checking this, because whenever I listen to English and there's something I don't understand, my brain just completely just overhears it, doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, I would absolutely do this as well if I was just watching the show. And so I want to say I'm thankful for the podcast because it made me Google this and now I actually understand what's happening, which otherwise I might not. So Carolyn asks Villanelle if she wants to go to Berlin, and I guess Villanelle doesn't.
Which is so sad.
Yeah, what about her best friend Carolyn? But before Carolyn leaves for Berlin, she must do air guitar.
Yes! And the way she starts to do it is not enough. It's not acceptable. So
yeah, she's like doing air ukulele at first.
She has to keep on fixing it for Villanelle, and then in the end, she gets so into it, we get some actual music starting to play. and it's so glorious. I
have mixed feelings about this scene, because when she starts doing it for real and there's the actual guitar music, I felt such cringe. It was unbearable because there was the music added. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I want to say this is good or bad, because it's good because it made me feel what Carolyn felt. Mm-hmm. But it's bad because it made me cringe.
Mm-hmm. I feel that, but same. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Same.
Then Carolyn stops and comments that this was pointless, and Villanelle says, theirs are pointless, the point of them is to be pointless. So then Carolyn says goodbye to Villanelle and goes to pack. And Vlad calls her and she puts her phone in a jar of water.
She was like, I found an alternative to that horrible safe house. Goodbye, Russia.
And yeah, we know that she was like, she was unhappy at MI6 and she was unhappy at the Russian intelligence, and now she's doing it on her own, which I'm so happy for her. I've been really enjoying Carolyn in this episode, and the prospect of not seeing her unhappy anymore, hopefully, in this season. It's so much more fun when we don't get the, like, 3 seconds long shot of her looking sad, but instead we get to see her thrive.
I really liked that we saw her in that horrible state, but also it's very enjoyable to watch her in this state, and I'm happy that Villanelle made it happen. Mm-hmm. And also she did the same for Villanelle, basically.
Yeah, they did it for each other.
Friendship is magic.
Yeah, this is a show about friendship being magic, just like She-Ra and My Little Pony.
Yes, it's exactly the same.
So back to Paris. Eve and Hélène are watching some cooking show and eating soup from tiny cups.
And just like the dessert.
Yeah, except this time Eve is enjoying it kind of even less, I feel like. Mm. I mean, she's still into it. Like, into the whole thing with Hélène somewhat, but she seems like a bit more over it than earlier.
Well, because it's kind of lost the mystery and the danger because of that awkward moment that they had.
Yeah. But then Hélène tells Eve that she got Villanelle out of prison, and Eve is like genuinely shocked.
Yes.
And I love it. And then we find out that actually Hélène also ships Eve and Villanelle. Mm-hmm. She says something like, passion is to suffer. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're into, right? That's why you're into Villanelle, right? And then we have this exchange between them, which is like Eve saying, you love this, don't you? It delights you. And Hélène saying, I think it delights you. This is what you want. And like, sure, but like, what are they referring to? What is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I also was confused here.
Passion.
Suffering.
Suffering.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't like totally convinced by this, I guess, because I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, but I guess it doesn't matter because...
Yeah. Yes? Go on!
Because what happens next is that even Ellen kiss for realsies!
Yeah, I love the way Eve turns to Ellen and comes closer. It's
yeah, good. It looks like a dare.
Mm.
Like, yeah, it's just their power play again. Yeah. And they kiss. And it's not like magic explosions, love of my life. But it is like a good kiss.
I don't think Eve has ever looked this into kissing with a man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. When I first watched this scene, I was, of course, elated. It was amazing. I was so happy. We are finally, finally having Eve.
Kiss a woman.
Kiss a woman. But I felt like it didn't really hit me yet how good that was. Because then one day later, at one point, I just like sat down and I thought of this scene and then literally like stared at a wall for 3 minutes.
Love it.
Yeah, it was good. Above all else, it gives me hope that Eve and Villanelle will kiss.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. This kind of makes me think we will never find out what happened between them, between last season and this one, but that it will be fine, kind of, because we'll just get them to kiss. But like, as long as this season is actually good, I don't mind it as much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
If it's this fun,
yeah,
go ahead.
Then Eve breaks off this kiss in another example of power play and leaves. Well, before that, she also says, you have no idea about what she wants. And it's good. And then we get like the final scene where it's, we jump from Villanelle's to Eve's faces. And I love every time we see both of their faces at the same time. It's good. And the music that's playing, its lyrics are, if you've ever been in love, you know how good it feels, but how bad it hurts. Ever since, I've never been the same.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, very good. And that's the episode!
Segments!
Uti! In this episode, Villanelle wore 5 outfits.
Yay!
However, 2 were recycled from the previous episode.
That's
so
okay.
3. So the 2 recycled outfits are the prison jumpsuit in blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the remnants, the very, very disheveled remnants of the suit that she wore when she was in her... session.
I loved seeing it in a different light.
Yeah, it still looked great on her.
Then the 3rd outfit is the striped ensemble she wears to attempt to murder Carolyn. This is a 3-piece outfit, all made of the same fabric, which is just stripes in mostly warm colors, orange, red, but also some green and blue. And then it's hemmed with a blue ribbon. So she is wearing a white pant and a t-shirt. And then over this, she is also wearing a shirt with short sleeves. And her hair is down and she has orange ballerinas.
And with this outfit... we get the bright, colorful Villanelle back.
Yeah.
Like, we've had fun outfits already in this season, but this is her style, and I love it.
Yeah.
Then the 4th outfit is also stripes. She is wearing a jersey dress that has big black and white or blue and white stripes. At the bottom, there is this big red pattern like a leaf or a flower. With this, she is for once wearing bigger earrings. So it's dangly black earrings in the form of a circle. And she also puts on round shades while in the restaurant.
They look great.
And then her final outfit, it's a dress in purple and red, and I think it's either velvet or very rough denim. It's like this very vintage material from the 80s. And the pattern is kind of zigzag, so it's mostly purple with zigzag red and also some other bits of red. And she is also wearing red shoes with a heel.
Yeah, it's interesting to see her wear a heel again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's rare for her.
It's true. So which one is your favorite?
Mine is the orange one. I am not a fan of orange, but I think it suits her very well.
Mm.
And I enjoyed the shape and I liked the pattern, and I was just also very excited to see her wear something fun.
Literally exactly same. I'm just gonna add that I really like the layering. I just love it as a concept, but I would like to give a shout out to the purple and red dress just because I do genuinely enjoy this color combination.
Yes, me too. I think it's my favorite color combination. I guess we're not gonna be very interesting. if I only picked according to what I think is the prettiest, I would have picked the last one. But since also feelings matter, it's gonna be the orange one because of like how it made me feel when Villanelle turns up wearing it. It represents a new start, and I think that's beautiful. And also, I think it's a great outfit.
And I would like to give a shout out to the big earrings she wears with the fourth outfit. Love to Tessuti.
Cool, so we should move on to...
I think it's ratings time. My rating this week is Feel Good, the TV show. Because I also find that show to be surprising and very funny, and there are people kissing who maybe shouldn't be kissing.
Beautiful. My rating is much less complex than that. I chose A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers, a book, just because it made me feel joy. In a similar way where I was just like, this is so fun and I am enjoying myself. Yeah.
My rating is the TV show Black Sails, because also there are a lot of twists and turns and there is surprise gay action.
Nice.
It wasn't a complete surprise, but still, you know, when you get to it, it's still kind of unexpected.
So.
It's time for a game. Today's game is, what would be an ideal date location where you would eat dessert from tiny glasses, besides the stage of an empty theater, of course?
So for me, it's not very exciting, but it's the steps in front of my date's house or apartment building. Because just sitting in front of someone's house is so cozy. I don't know how to describe it, but you know the feeling.
Love
that.
What a great answer.
Oh.
Mine, like the first thought that I had was this place around the Ljubljana castle, from which, like, on which you can sit and then look down on the city, which I loved and it was my favorite place ever. But then in the recent years, a lot of people have been going there and now they made a cafe right by it. So there's always people there. So that kind of ruined it. So I'm just going to say in a tree.
Ooh,
nice.
I feel like mine is a similar vibe, at least to me. And I just love the idea of like an adventure date and maybe like eating dessert from glasses somewhere unexpected. But it would be like my date being like, wanna just like spontaneously go somewhere where I will take you? And then me saying yes, And they would take me, like, to a fun nature spot or, like, to the roof or a terrace of a building where we would kind of illegally climb or, like, just somewhere exciting. I don't have a specific answer, but I would really like that.
Predictions?
Corner? My prediction is just that we will get to have more fun and there will be more colorful scenes. This is also my wish.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. I don't know. At this point, I don't have any predictions or thoughts. I find it very interesting that we are already in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you first mentioned it, when we were watching it, I was also very surprised by that fact. But now it feels okay. It feels right. My wish just continues to be that even Villanelle fucking die.
So my prediction is connected to that. My prediction was that Elaine is gonna be there when they die. But oh. Then I thought Elaine is gonna be there when they fucking die. Oh yeah, my prediction is that Lars is gonna bring Carolyn and Eve back together.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like just
yeah, yeah.
Connect the paths.
Yeah, exactly.
My wish, like my boring obvious wish is just that we get more fun and good dialogue, because that's like the heart of this show.
Mm-hmm. My prediction is that in the next episode, Constantine will be walking with fun music playing around him.
Yeah, my prediction is that Pam will be my favorite new character of this season. She already but that she will continue to be great, I guess.
Yeah.
And my wish is that we get more of Pam. And that Pam also meets other cast members, like even Villanelle.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good wish.
Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this episode of Queering Eve. We will record another one. We release new episodes when we can. Have a nice week, and remember to enjoy pointless things.
I played with Bratz dolls and I was obsessed with them, and that's why I have low self-esteem.
Because you don't have a huge head.
And I can't take my feet off.